hearts today, God. Of who you are. God, what you sacrificed for us. God, everything points to that cross, God. And Lord, reveal to us a fresh understanding of what that looked like. It's only by that that we can be truly free.
Your name. creation sings your story. At your name, angels will bow. The earth will rejoice. Your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Come on, sing that again. Lord of all the earth,
Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There's no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing. Yes, we will, Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Come on, see, there's no one like our God.
There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing. 'Cause Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise,
endless praise.
Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name. Lord of all the earth, shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. Yes, we will, Lord, we will, Lord. 'Cause Lord of all the earth, we'll shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies, endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The earth quakes. The earth is quaking because our God reigns. Our God is sitting on the throne. And Jesus died for us. He is sitting on the throne. Your spirit should quake at the name of the Lord. Our beings should be lifted up to the throne room of the Father, where we worship, we praise, we bow down, and give glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I had a dream Friday night. Friday was 24/7 prayer, and it spoke of the Lord and reverencing the Lord and knowing Him as Mighty God and Prince of Peace and Father to the fatherless. Every need He meets. And in the dream, the Lord kept saying, tell my people, worship me. Tell my people to love me more. Tell my people that I meet every need. If they would ask, I am there. Mighty, mighty is our King. Mighty is our Lord. So let the mountain quake inside of you. Let your heart see the rainbows. Be open. Be open for the blessing and the love, the impartation, the anointing, and the love the Father has for us, because mighty is His name. Mighty is the King of Kings, and our God sits on the throne. Our God loves us. So this day, we have an opportunity, like every other day, to feel the presence of the Lord, to be healed by the presence of the Lord, by the touch and the sound of His name. So mighty, mighty, mighty is our Lord.
God. He's an awesome God, isn't he? Awesome. You know, as my heart's just been stirred up last few weeks, and I said, what is this, Lord? What is this, Lord? You know, and I was there worshiping, and the question was asked, how is your foundation with God? You know, we're just getting over the summer break, vacations and moving and storms. Life happens. But how is your foundation? That's the question you ask. I was asking myself, how's my foundation? How's your foundation? The Lord asks. Job was a man who repented every day of his life. Every single day. We're under attack every single day as Christians. What we believe, what we stand for is being attacked day and night. How is your foundation? Is it built upon the rock? Do you feel like it's built upon the sand sometimes? Like, what is this? I'm being washed away. Lord, help me. The Lord is here. He can build upon the rock. And he can repair that foundation. And what are you building on that foundation? Sometimes we forget as life goes by, what are we building? Our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own ambitions? Or are they God's thoughts? Is it God's will? Like I say, we're under attack every day. It's no surprise that when we go through trials and tribulations as Christians, we shouldn't be ashamed of that. We should be able to grab your prayer partner or leader from the church and pray and say, hey, help me build up my foundation again. Help me. There's nothing wrong with that. Because we are under attack every day. As we worship, check your foundation. Yes. And just call upon the Lord to help you. And he will. You know, they say we're under attack every day. Every single day with what we believe in. And we have the truth, and we shouldn't be ashamed of the truth. We have it in our hearts. There's a dying world out there. John 3:17 says, the world has already been condemned. It's already done. That's why Jesus came down, to reach them, because we were on that boat once too. But check your foundation, and what are you building on that foundation this morning as we worship the Lord? And thank you very much. Bless you.
Ever blessed. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. What are we building on? Who are we worshiping? How are we living this life of faith? All questions that are right to ask. There is a grace for us, it says right here. Let us have grace. God's grace has been fully given in the person of Jesus Christ. And each of us can stand 100% knowing today that we are forgiven, that we are made spotless in the name of Jesus, in His blood, in His sacrifice. But what do we do with that gift of grace? Do we spend it and live life foolishly and cause others to stumble and fall and make ourselves back in a place where we look like we haven't even been received the grace of God that was so freely given us? Or do we take the grace, the empowerment to live a life wholly devoted to Him, separated from everything that looks like the devil? We have the ability in His grace to say yes. And we can make our yes, yes. It's not a maybe. It can be a yes. It can be definite. And I believe the writer Paul here is admonishing the church of Jesus Christ to serve God with reverence and godly fear. Not fear of judgment, but fear of disappointing our King. Fear of letting the grace down that was so freely given. We are sons and daughters. We have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. But what are we going to do with it? God is a consuming fire. That word consuming fire literally means it burns from the top to the bottom. I believe there's nothing left. I believe the consuming fire is a fire of judgment for those who do not receive, but it's a fire of purification for those who do. So let's receive today what the Spirit of the Lord is saying through the music, through the words. There's an anointing here that's breaking yokes, it's breaking chains, it's breaking old mindsets, it's delivering you from bondages that you've had for years. And if you don't know that right now, you'll know in the coming days. You can't get around God and not be changed. And we have the grace here of getting around God. It's nothing about us, it's about Him. And when you come to Him hungry, He doesn't let you down. So let us have grace so that we can serve God acceptably and with a reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
Cause your presence. cause your presence to fall on our hearts. Holy Spirit, we are desperate. Holy Spirit, Lord, Holy Spirit, we
sing it out, church.
Fill this place with the glory of God. For we are hungry for all that you are. And cause your presence to fall on our hearts. Holy Spirit, we're desperate, Lord. We are desperate. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. We are desperate. For you come.
Lifted up in this place with all of our voices.
Let heaven invade this place. Invade our hearts, God. Let heaven invade this place. Invade us, God. Let heaven invade this place. Let heaven invade.
Come and move, Lord, have your
as we call upon your name, show your power and we'll be changed. Let heaven invade this place. Let heaven invade this place.
This morning, I just really feel like, at least in my spirit, I feel like I just want to touch the heart of God. And this morning, I don't know if it's all of us as a corporate body or if we just individually right now, if we can just completely just focus upon who Jesus is this morning. And just from the depths of your spirit, let's just begin to cry out to the Lord and just with our worship, just as like just literally like just laying out the fragrance from our hearts, the oil from our hearts. Let's just begin to pour ourselves out to the Lord this morning. And I feel like God just wants us right now in this time of worship. If we can take just a few moments and just begin to just lift up our voices, lift up our hearts, or just even in our quietness, begin to just worship the Lord with all of our hearts and just begin to pour out the ointment, the oil of our hearts, of our worship and our praise to the Lord. Come on, let's just pour out our worship. Jesus. Jesus, I love you, Father. God, I worship you, Jesus. Worthy, Lord, glorious. You're glorious, Jesus. You're glorious, Lord.
Yeah. Hi. I know some of you and owe a lot of thanks to some of you as well. I'm Glenn's mom, and Harper's grandma, and Hank's grandma, and soon-to-be Walker's grandma. And the short story is, a month ago I fell, 5 weeks ago actually, and 5 weeks ago today, Glenn came over to my house and put his hand on my leg. I was laying in bed with one leg, ankle severely sprained, the other one broken, and I didn't know it yet. And I was proud, and I wasn't going to the doctor. And he put his hand on my leg, and he just said, "Mom, I think this is going to be for good." And my life has changed. I have, in my life, I felt a strong presence of God. My parents were atheists, and I joined church when I was 20, the Catholic Church. And I practiced Catholicism for 18 years until their father and I split up, and I was so angry. I was angry at the church. I was angry at God. I was angry at everything. It took me a few years, and I went back to church with friends, and I've been in and out for years. But I've always known that God worked in my life, and I always felt blessed. But 5 weeks ago, God slowed me down. And that's really what had to happen in my life. It wasn't about whether I could walk. He knew I could run. I had to slow down. And I had to appreciate what I have and really recognize where things were in my life. Well, I'm blessed to have a really good man in my life. And 3 weeks ago, we came to Hank's dedication. And we walked out of church and we knew that we needed to be married. So we're getting married next weekend. But the even bigger blessing in that is that having come here, he said, he cried. And we came home and he cried and he said, "I want a church community with my family. And this is my family." And we saw Glenn at the store the other day and gave him a big hug before Ernie left town. And my daughter Laura's healing. My daughter Liz is healing. Unfortunately, their father is really ill. And I pray for him every day that how hard this is going to be is passing. But I got to tell you, my life has changed. At work, my boss basically was kind, and after a year of turmoil, everything worked out. I cannot tell you how much has changed in my life in 5 weeks. So thank you, God. Thank all of you, and thank you. Oh, I can walk, and I probably could take this shoe off and walk, but I am listening. God said slow down, and I'm slowing down. So.
That can be so true for all of us. So many times we get into such a rush. What we're doing, where we're going, and we're constantly talking to God. "Where you at? Where you at? You know, what are you doing? God, I need this. God, I need that. God, do this for me. Heal this for me. Where are you? I need this done. I need this done. My finances are in array." Have you ever tried to have a one-sided conversation with somebody? Do you know how annoying that can be? Constantly chirping at him, and he's just waiting for you to slow down and listen. I'm so guilty of that. Constantly looking for what I gotta be doing, where I gotta be going, how I'm gonna get there, when I'm gonna get there, how fast I'm gonna get there. Sometimes I just gotta say, "Okay, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And at what speed do you want me to get there?" If it takes putting a boot on your leg to do that, then okay, I'll do that. But look inside, because we're all marked with glory. Yeah. All of us. And we're never the same. But just take a moment. And I want us to lift that song back up. And I want us to just listen. Listen with your spirit. Don't listen with your ears. Listen with your spirit. Say, "Okay, God, what are you wanting to tell me right now in this moment? What are you saying?" And It'll be interesting what he tells you.
Fill this place with the glory of God. For we are hungry for all that you are. And cause your presence to fall on our hearts. Holy Spirit, we
a dream I had last night, and it was, when I woke up, I was like, that was weird. But I was kind of like off of a dock, and there, it was just like really high waters and everything. I'm over there like swimming, trying not to drown. And I was really mad because for some reason I had to swim with my Bible because it was getting wet, and I'm obsessive about it, and I don't want it to get hurt. My favorite thing ever. So I was really mad about that. And it was weird though because it kept floating. I'm like, I picked up my phone, like, how would the heck would this float? And I finally, like, it kept floating, so I kept trying to swim after it. Eventually, I got on the dock. I was standing back there, and the Lord was just telling me what that really meant. And it's like, in this world, it's like we're trying to swim, trying not to drown, trying not to fall for whatever the enemy throws at us. But the Word of God is our flotation device. It's our foundation, what's going to hold us and what's not going to let us drown. Remember after I got on the dock, I was looking at it, I was really mad because a piece of the cover got ripped out of it. And then God told me, nothing, but I remember the inside of it was just fine. Nothing even touched about it. It wasn't even wet. It said, nothing can touch the heart of God. Nothing can pierce it. and I place my heart in you, nothing can touch you. I thought that was really cool.
Praise the Lord. We're going to do things a little different this morning, like we haven't already, but I'm going to have the children come up. They're going to go down for a little bit. I'm going to share and teach a little bit on communion to the adults. I don't know what you guys have planned. For all we know, the Holy Spirit's already got it worked out. And then probably about 10 after, Impact will come and get you. Children will come and get you, come back up, and then we'll have family communion together. How's that sound? Great? Good? A couple of you are excited. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your kids. Lord, we thank you, God, that as parents you've entrusted them, Lord, into our lives, Lord. But, God, we know that really they're in your hands. And so, Father, we pray today, Lord, that you would just help them, God, to grow a little more in who you've called them to be. Lord, that they'd realize, God, that they're not just waiting for someday in the future, Lord, to be used by you, Lord. But now, today, they can be used by you, Lord, to reach and touch those around them, Lord, that need the love of God. Lord, we release your glory on our children right now, Lord. We release your power, Lord, upon our children. We release the Spirit of living God upon them right now, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are working in their lives, Lord, for your good pleasure, Lord, to accomplish, Lord, what you've started in them to finish it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Impact? Youth. Yeah, I said youth, too. Did they not hear? Youth. Youth is going down. Sorry, youth. Moses, could you take these here and hand them out? I'll grab one too. There we go. So next Monday, well, let me start in order real quickly. Next Saturday at 9:30 a.m., oops, sorry, Moses, we're going to be having our men's breakfast. Yeah, food. And we're going to hear from some men about what God's been doing in their lives and their hearts. And it's an amazing time. I encourage you, all you men, to join us. It's downstairs. A couple of us cook. Glenn and myself and others come and help. And it's usually good food. And by the grace of God, we have that. We've only burned a few things, and they were still edible. So that's always a good thing. Next Saturday, the 14th, this is another round of applause, Saturday night prayer. We'll be back, and we will be at the parsonage, and one person is excited, at our house, and I invite all of you to come. We're going to try to see if we can get some guitars to play during our prayer time, and you know, it's going to be once a month now, so let's see if we can kind of clear our schedules, and as many of us can make it. You know, there's a saying that we use for work, many hands make light work. Well, I believe that when we gather together, the more of us that gather together, it makes the presence of God come a lot easier. Lets the anointing that breaks the yoke come a lot easier. So I encourage all of you to come to that. Again, we'll be just over here at the parsonage. And September 16th, we're going to be starting our 90-day Bible challenge through the Bible. But it's the New Testament. It's not a whole Bible in 90 days. So this is the, what can I say? This is the easy version, I will say that, of the 90-day challenge. And I'm excited about it. How many know 3 chapters is not like 10? Or 15 sometimes it seemed like. There's a schedule here. Moses is handing them out. Thank you, Moses. And you can just sit there and read your daily reading and check it off. And it's if you get behind, then you can just go to the date and read what the reading is that day. If you don't make every single day, there's grace. You don't have to sit there, oh, I missed the first 5 days. I can't do it. Don't do that. Just say, okay, well, I'm going to start it. September 20th, and I'm going to read Matthew 14 through 16. If I get a chance, I'll read the previous chapters. But if not, praise the Lord, right? We're under grace, not the law. What's that? Amen. It's not somebody who's adding something. The 21st is church work day. The 29th is going to be One Life Kids Super Sunday. And then, praise the Lord, I'm really excited about this. Sunday night, 6 p.m. on the 29th. We will have our worship night. So this is going to be where we gather together to worship the Lord and just entertain his presence, just wait on him, worship, of course, and just watch what he'll do. A lot of you have been wanting a dedicated soul worship night, and that's what we'll have. It's going to be a very intimate and awesome time. October 12th and 19th, men's and women's transform. So next week I'll have those envelopes. Put those dates, mark them so that you can have those scheduled time off work. That's a Saturday that's from about 8 to 8. So praise the Lord. So today is Communion Sunday, and it was really put on my heart to just share a little bit about what, in just, I mean, minor detail of what was accomplished in communion, what takes place in communion, what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, that his blood is so significant and his body is so significant. There's many different ways, you know, that I could go with this. We could talk about Jesus' body being broken, so we're healed, and we do talk about the time. Isaiah 53 is very clear on that. Not only healed in our body physically, but our emotions, our hearts are healed, you know, our backgrounds and our pasts are healed a lot of times. You know, in Christ, he was broken and he became poor so that we might become rich. But today, I really don't want to address that. There's other things that we can talk about, you know, Christ's blood, that, you know, it's overcoming power, and, you know, and there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. I could talk about that, but that's not necessarily what I want to talk about today, because what I want to do is to let you know that communion is a doorway to intimacy. That communion is it literally means to commune, to partnership, to walk alongside. That, you know, it's a word that means we're gonna gather together, but we're also gonna gather with him. And you can take communion at home by yourself. And I believe it has the same power and the same anointing. You say, well, we don't have a pastor there to pray over it. Well, you don't need a pastor to pray over it. That's religious thinking. Because you are the body of Christ. And so you can remember the Lord's death till he comes. You can celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood for you, his broken body. So, but today we're going to do it together as a family. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 10, verse 10, here's really where I want to go today with this. And again, I believe communion is a doorway to intimacy. That could be the title, Jesse, if you want to use that. So I haven't been giving them titles lately. We have to come up with them the next week. By the way, last week's title for you, those of you who are keeping notes, was Compassion That Costs. Compassion That Costs. Says this: By that we have been sanctified through the offering. I'm going to go to New Living Translation. Sorry, because that's what I was reading. Okay, try again. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, verse 14, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. So you have been made perfect. You're also being made holy. You're being sanctified, the word says, being transformed into holiness. But by Christ's blood and the work of the cross, you're made perfect. Somehow there's a perfection to us that we can't get any better than we are. And yet there's a work of sanctification, a transformation that takes place that we look more like Jesus every day. I know it doesn't necessarily make sense. Sounds contradictory, but it's totally right in God's perspective. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. For he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." That's good news. Your sins and lawless deeds are not remembered by God. Maybe we remember them. Our friends, or sometimes our enemies, remember our lawless deeds, but not to God. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. There's a deal that sometimes talks about the Jews over in Israel getting ready to rebuild the temple. You've heard about it for years. Some of you maybe not heard about it. And that they're going to offer sacrifices like they did years ago. I have to say that it's not going to have any power, because the shadow is gone. What made the shadow, Jesus Christ, is here now. And so the shadow is done away with. There's no need for sacrifices anymore. So if someone gets excited, you know, about Jews are going to just remind them that Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. There is no need for the shedding of animals' blood anymore. It's just going to be for show if they ever do it. And so, dear brothers and sisters, now listen to this. This is the doorway to intimacy, and this is what we're going to, I believe, experience today in communion. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. So Jesus, on that night that he was being betrayed, he took the cup, and he took bread. First he said, "This is my body which is broken," but we'll get to that in a moment. But he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant." We've heard about a covenant that's not of laws that are written on pages that we have to try to... We're in a covenant now where God's commandments are on our hearts. You know, we don't have to have sheets and papers and stuff to follow. You know immediately by the Holy Spirit when things aren't right. Anybody with me? But this blood... That is a total work of forgiveness for us, also makes way for us to move into the most holy place, into heaven. It makes us just as acceptable to the Father as Jesus himself. In a way, when Jesus is sitting at God's right hand, in a way, we have the same entrance as him. Now you're saying, "Well, I'm not Jesus. I can't sit at God's right hand." No, you're not Jesus, but to the Father, he looks at you with the same adoration and love that he looks at the Son. So for you to be on his right side and him loving you is totally acceptable. Do you understand that? As he sees Jesus, he sees you. And so because of that, we can boldly go into the most holy place. That word boldly is a tough word for me sometimes, because I think, gosh, he's God. He's an all-consuming fire. So what does that mean to go boldly in front of him? Well, I believe that the word boldly does not mean arrogantly. In other words, "Well, I'm going in there and he has to listen to me." Well, that's not really the way to go into God. Well, he said boldly. Well, that's arrogantly. That's not boldly. Boldly is with a confidence. Ever seen someone that's bold? They're not always, you know, brash and mean. And sometimes people are bold, they don't even have to say much. There's just a confidence with them. Jesus was described as someone who, when he taught as someone having authority. In other words, there was a confidence, there was a boldness that he had that wasn't an arrogance, but it was a solidness in who he was. Listen, when we celebrate with the drinking of the cup, it should remind us that we're not just here, we're in heaven as well. And to remind us that we can spend intimate, close time with the Lord. And it doesn't have to be in church on Sunday. It doesn't have to be when you're reading your devotion or your Bible. It can be when you're just laying in bed at night. It can be when you're taking a shower. It can be any time you can draw near to the Lord because of the shed blood. See, we tend to separate and segregate our Christian walk, and I'm guilty of it. Anybody else? Into these moments. When that's not the way it's meant to be. It's meant to be 24/7 relationship, intimacy, closeness. And the blood of Jesus Christ has accomplished that. By his death, Jesus opened a new and living way through the curtain of the most holy place. Now, I need to go to the New King James for that verse because it misses a couple of key words. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us. In other words, he made it happen. It's established through the veil that is his flesh. Now we see that the blood is the, for lack of a better term, the guarantee of why we can go boldly in. But the ripping of his flesh represents the veil that separated God and man. For years, people went to the temple, and the only person that could go beyond this curtain, this veil, was the high priest. And he only did it once a year. And he had a rope tied around him in case he displeased God and he died. And they had to pull him out and send someone else in to do the job. That had to be a scary place if you're the backup and you know the first priest just didn't make it. Right? But this veil represented the division between God's presence and the people. The Ark of the Covenant was in there that contained the laws, contained Aaron's bud, the rod that budded, contained some manna. It had holy things in it, and it represented the very seat of where God was. And once a year, blood was sprinkled on that to push off sins that they were going to do that year, and they had done before, for another year. And they did it every year until Jesus came. And then that temple, it says, had a quake, an earthquake, when he died on the cross. And it says that literally the veil that separated, and it was very thick, was torn from top to bottom. Why did he tear it from top to bottom? It says that from heaven to earth, the doorway is open. In other words, it didn't just tear so that, you know, someone could maybe crawl under it. No, he said, listen, from heaven to earth, the doorway is open. Nobody could say, well, somebody ripped it. No, from the top to the bottom, it was torn. I believe God, in his sovereignty, sent mighty angels, and they ripped that open. And what it meant is that man is no longer separated from me. Redemption. The blood was paid in full, the price for you and I, so that we can have intimacy and relationship. And this intimacy relationship should make it so that we have even deeper an intimacy and relationship with each other. It says, and having a high priest, go back to New Living Translation. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. That's that boldness. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Listen, his body was broken so that our bodies are completely washed clean. That's that grace, that's that empowerment to live holy, to live sin-free. I don't have to sin. You know, some people say we're just sinners saved by grace. No, that's not quite right. We're grace-filled believers who don't have to sin. Did you hear that? We're not sinners saved by grace. We are grace-filled believers who don't have to sin. Sin does not have to reign in our mortal bodies. Christ overcame it. When you take of the cup and the bread today, think, man, his body was broken so that I could be made whole to the place where I don't even have to sin again. And as you take the drink, say, man, I have entrance to the very presence of God. The very presence of God lives in me, but I have very entrance in the presence of God. And that presence that I enter into will transform and change me. So I don't even want to sin. That's the kind of empowerment we have as believers. It's not that we get a pass when we, you know, come to God and make up. It's that we get an empowerment to never have to separate ourselves from him ever again in broken relationship. That's crazy. So when you come and you start to take of communion, realize that that blood and that body is doing a whole lot more than just making it so you can go to heaven. It's making it so that you can be like Jesus. That you can walk in his character, walk in his love, walk in his nature, and be a world changer. Hallelujah. All right. Lest I go over, I think we're good here, yeah. Let us quickly go to Hebrews 12:24. Now, this is part of a big exhortation, communication that the writer's giving, and so I'm kind of pulling it a little bit out of context, but I don't have time for all of it. But I really want us to focus on this part here. We could start at 23. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who have been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. New King James says it this way, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Now listen, we have a tendency as believers to let our actions and what we do give us our identity. We let them speak to us. We let them communicate to us. We let them say, see, you blew it. It's condemnation. It's not conviction. It makes us feel bad about ourselves. Conviction gives you the opportunity to feel good about yourself. Because all you have to do is say, Lord, you put this on my heart. I've messed up. Forgive me. I know that's not who you made me to be. Let's walk together in newness now. And that conviction that he brought, maybe you did something, you know, that you weren't supposed to do. Conviction comes and says, hey, son, you're not like that. That's not your character. I made you like me. You can rise above this. And you know what? We can. But that other thing that speaks to us puts us down. It speaks of condemnation. It speaks of vengeance. It speaks of now you're going to get it. How many of you heard that before? Some of you have gotten into circumstances and you think the circumstances are there because you're getting it. Because you blew it, and now God's putting the hurt on you. No. If God has allowed anything in your life, it's not because he's putting a hurt on you. It's because he knows what you need to draw close to him. It's not to put a hurt on you. That's the enemy of your soul telling you that. That's the enemy of your soul trying to make what God means for good, he meant for evil. He'll say it was meant for evil. No, God means it for good. We talked about that a few weeks ago. You can see that in some teachings online. Which, by the way, Jesse Now, commercial, records the whole service. So you can go and you listen to worship. You listen to prophetic words. You can listen to whatever goes on. What's so funny? Commercial? Yeah, I know. Squirrel. Anyway, back to this. Where was I? Oh, yes. So this blood that that we're about to receive in a type and shadow. Obviously, that's not real blood, kids. We're not going to be drinking real blood. That's juice. But it represents the blood of Jesus. It's speaking now for us, folks. We're going to be participating in something that's still speaking. That Greek word, the context that it ends, it means it's actively still speaking. Now, I don't know how it does that. I believe somehow it's eternal. If you look back in the Old Testament, when Abel was slain, his blood was speaking and crying out that he had been murdered by his brother Cain. And the writer of this is contrasting those two things. That Jesus' blood is still speaking for you and me. And you know what? It's saying, my redeemed one, my loved one, my forgiven one, my one that has my grace and my empowerment to succeed. That's what his blood is speaking. Saying, Father, these are your children because of my blood. Father, these that have my blood running through them, I believe that the blood doesn't just speak. I believe it's inside of us somehow, miraculously. The blood of Christ works in our bodies. I can't explain it. Somehow we start to take on Jesus' DNA. Do you guys believe that? I believe that. I believe it's not just a spiritual thing. I believe physically God's work starts going through our entire being. That we're literally transformed from glory to glory into the image of Jesus. It's not just spiritual. Things take place in the natural as well. But this blood is speaking better things. It's speaking for you and it's speaking for me right now. And so if the enemy has been speaking to you, maybe he says, you know, you don't even deserve or the right to go and have communion because of the things that you've done. The blood, if you receive Christ, is speaking better things. It's saying, no, this is my redeemed one. When they come to me with a repentant heart, I don't even see their sins anymore. Come on, that's good news. Because if you're like me, even though I don't have to, I still make mistakes. I'm believing through God's grace, there will be a day that I'm walking this earth like Jesus did, through God's grace, not through my own will, because it doesn't work. I will not sin. Oh yeah, you just turned on the switch. Sin will run after you when you do that. But when you say, with God's grace, I can be like Jesus, sin doesn't have any place in that. Has no work. So it's just the old nature rising up. And you remind the enemy of your soul when he condemns you, when he says you're no good, that no. That's not what Jesus' blood says. Jesus' blood speaks better things of me. Jesus' blood loves me. I know it sounds weird saying Jesus' blood loves me, but that's the truth. Somehow today, Jesus' blood is still alive and active. How do you think we can come as horrible, wretched sinners and receive total cleansing? It's by that blood, still working, still active. And when you feel like you're separated from God, remind the enemy. You have to remind God. Remind the enemy and yourself that you have complete access to the Father. Complete ability to go and find grace in time of need. Find help. We heard about that today. Father is so willing and ready to enter into anything that we have going on. And yes, sometimes he does enter in without us asking. I believe he's working in our lives, but he's so willing and ready to have his children come and say, Father, will you do this? And it moves his heart, and guess what? He does it. He's not like that judge who just from being worn down finally gives in. He's a loving Father. And when he sees a true need, he'll come. So remember that Jesus' body was ripped, lacerated. I mean, it's the place where he wasn't recognized anymore. If you read Isaiah 52 and 3, it says that he was marred beyond human recognition. Couldn't even recognize him as a human being. So I can't picture that. I don't know if I want to picture that. Somehow he was just a piece of flesh hanging. But his flesh was ripped and torn, and lacerated, so that veil that separated us was made wide open. There's nothing holding you back from intimacy with the Lord. Nothing, but you know what? What we choose. Do we choose to listen to the enemy of our soul and our old condemning nature, or do we choose to listen to the blood of Jesus Christ speaking better things for you and I? Wow. And it's still speaking. And if you go out today and you mess up, and the first thing you start to do is, oh, I can't believe it, after that church, after I made that commitment, after I went back and I messed up again. And the enemy says, yeah, you're worthless. Say, no, wait a minute. Pastor Mike said it's still speaking. So it's still speaking right now. Father, I receive the word over me that says, I'm made clean. Forgive me for my mistake. Now help me walk in truth. And you know what? It's that easy. We've made it about ceremonies and hoops we have to jump through. It's not that. It's just a heart that's contrite and broken before the Lord. And he will raise you up. It's his nature. The lower we get, the more he wants to pick us up. Isn't that the truth? The lower down we try to, oh, Lord. He goes, no. Let me put you up. Because he raises up the humble. Now, when you come to it there again, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like all these sinners out here. I thank you, God, that I just do everything that you want me to do. Yes, perfect, Lord. I thank you, God, that you made me perfect. And I'm sure you're pleased to have me. That is not going to cut it with him. Please tell me nobody does that. Because if you do, see me afterwards, and I will keep you from having a terrible fall in the future. There's no open space in the Trinity. There's no help wanted sign. No. Through our brokenness, God places us in the Trinity with him. But if we think we've earned it, man, you might as well just turn the switch off. Because now you're walking out of grace in your own strength. And pride comes before a what? Fall. And the Father doesn't want you to fall. I believe with all my heart, God did not want the devil to fall and a third of the angels. But pride came before their fall. And we're dealing with their fall. And pride came before Adam and Eve's fall. And guess what? We're dealing with their fall. But thank the Lord Jesus Christ for shed blood and a broken body that we are now redeemed from that curse anymore. Wow. We're receiving a kingdom right now that can't be shaken. It can't be moved. And there's a grace for you to walk just like Jesus walked. Amen. Somebody go get the kids. And you need the phone, don't you? Can somebody run this up to Jesse? We're going to have... Jesse's on his way down. Good man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, that your word is true. As I hold this cup of juice, Lord, that represents your shed blood, your broken body, Father, I bless them now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I just pray that everyone that comes today, Lord, to this table, God, can come with that heart, that conscience, Lord, that's been sprinkled with your blood. Lord, that there is a transformation, Lord, that would take place even before they enter in, Lord, to communion with you. Lord, that as families, as we gather, Lord, that you would heal relationships. You would heal hearts. Lord, I pray for those who have backgrounds, God, that speak against them. Lord, that things they've done in the past, Lord, are like pointed fingers at them. God, that they would realize, Lord, that in your sacrifice, Lord, is not only total forgiveness, Lord, but the past has been erased. Oh, come on. Yes, the past, our past have been erased by the blood of Jesus, by the work of the cross. Thank you, Lord, that no accusation can stand against us. That no lie of the enemy, no former self that we used to be, God, can stand a candle, hold a candle, can even come close, Lord, to your work of your blood and your body. Father, we just ask you right now, Lord, that every single life, Lord, that participates in communion today would receive the healing that's waiting for us. Lord, we thank you, God, that you were wounded for our transgressions. God, you were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, God, of our peace was upon you. And that by your stripes, we are made whole. We are healed. So, Lord, we receive that by faith. We thank you, Lord, that there's testimonies all around us of how the work of the cross brings total restoration to body, mind, soul, hearts, emotions. God, we receive that today. We just thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you, Lord, for your shed blood. We thank you for your goodness. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. So there's going to be a few folks up here if you need prayer at the end, but just you can finish as families, just finish communion, love on each other, and we're done. God bless you all. Love you. Love you, bro.